Welcome to this segment of A Day at DPL, a thought leadership series that is part of the Advisor Revelations podcast. You will hear from DPL's founder and CEO, David Lau, and a special guest where they will discuss educational topics around industry trends and best practices, providing advisors insights to grow your business and better serve clients.
This is David Lau with another episode of podcast here at DPL, Advisor Revelations, and we've got a terrific guest today, old friend, Jack Sherry. Jack is the EVP and Chief Growth Officer at LifeYield. We're going to talk a bit about LifeYield and why every advisor should be using it to help deliver alpha and tax-efficient investing and withdrawals for their clients. But Jack's been around the industry a long time. He's, you know, one of the true influencers in the industry. He's got, you know, an incredible network and an incredible work history. He's got a great podcast of his own, which I've been fortunate enough to be on, Wealth Tech on Deck. We've got over 20,000 listeners. Sorry, I don't mean to shortchange you there, Jack, and 50,000 downloads. You also write monthly columns in Financial Advisor Magazine, and you've kind of been there, done that all across financial services. So welcome, Jack.
Good to be here, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, terrific to see you. So just, you know, for the benefit, you know, of the audience, you know, give them a little bit of the background, kind of your journey to, you know, how you've gotten to LifeYield, and then, you know, we'll talk a bit about LifeYield and some of the convergence of the things we do and the things you guys do, which I think are, you know, super important for advisors and clients.
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to trip into our business, answer an ad in the paper, if you can believe it, and started as a wholesaler of annuities. This is going back in 1983. So that'll give you a sense that I've been around for four decades at least, and learned a lot. I had a product that was as complicated as could be, so I had to learn how to simplify that on down. Did lots of seminars, client seminars, literally thousands of people that would come out, and I basically gave a financial planning seminar and position where annuities fit. So got my start that way, climbed through the ranks as a wholesaler, and then I wound up as national sales manager for insurance and annuities at Dean Witter, which is now Morgan Stanley. So found my way to New York in my mid-30s and trying to figure out how to simplify and explain how annuities fit into a portfolio. That's where that all started. Following that, I was at Putnam for a number of years in the 90s, and there worked on annuities as well, and certainly mutual funds, and at the time, the emerging category of SMAs, and that was later became UMAs and so on. So kind of made the rounds and was at Phoenix Investment Partners, which is today known as Virtus Investment Partners. So we had a collection of boutiques, did a lot of work around SMA, UMA models, money management, and all that sort of stuff. Always in the sales and marketing and really trying to make the complex simple, try to understand it. Fast forward, and I wind up at LifeYield about 15, 16 years ago, and now a partner in the firm. We do, it's a fintech firm. We've been around a long time. Do a lot of work with some of the major firms like Morgan Stanley, Merrill, JP Morgan, Ameriprise, a number of them, and a lot of insurance companies, including Allianz and New York Life and many more. And essentially what we do is we try to maximize retirement income. So we try to help you create more income over time through, we'll talk some more about it, I'm sure, asset location, putting the asset allocation in the right place to minimize tax. And then when it comes to decumulation, if you want to check out the industry-leading capability, at least at a wirehouse, it's called Intelligent Withdrawals at Morgan Stanley. That's us. Our name is not showing, but that's what we do. And so we suggest the optimal sequence of withdrawal across multiple accounts. So been around the industry a long time, always trying to innovate, break some new china. That's where David and I met a number of years ago when I was at Phoenix. We got together the old Monument Advisor product and did some interesting and fun things. And so I'm sure we'll talk about some of that stuff. But always try to find ways for clients and advisors to do more and better business and have more money in retirement.
Terrific background, Jack. And yeah, it's been, you said 15, 16 years at LifeYield. And wow, we went back before then.
Yes.
So we're both getting a lot of experience, as they would say. But
yes, the hard way, right?
The hard way. So before we circle back to LifeYield and some of the intersections we've got there, your podcast, you know, Wealth Tech on Deck, you're focusing on and having on a lot of people who are doing innovative things and trying to create, as you said, you know, an easier life for advisors, you know, better outcomes for clients. What are some of the things that have got you interested right now? What are some of the things that you think are pretty cool?
So over the years, I've always talked about this stuff, and the podcast has been a wonderful platform to express that, teach that, show the industry the way, because it's what we're describing, what you're working on at DPL and what we're working on at LifeYield. It's complex stuff, and it's forever. We're always trying to make it easier and simpler and better. So we share that for sure and a whole lot more. But basically with LifeYield, really what we've sought to do is I refer to it as the confluence of digital and human advice. How do we put those two things together? How do we improve outcomes? How do we help the consumer have a better result? How do we help the advisor have a better result? And what we're seeing with the podcast is we have industry leaders. You've been on. We've had a number of folks from the annuity world. We've had a number of people from the defined contribution world, wealth management, asset management, a lot of folks building tools, fintech. So we have a variety of folks that are all working to innovate and to figure ways to improve outcomes for all. Interestingly, the challenge and where we've been spending a lot of time recently, and you're going to hear a whole lot more about this over time, is how do you connect and coordinate all these different elements? And David, you and I have talked about that. You're doing so many good things with DPL. There's so many good things at LifeYield. How would we work together? And frankly, it's challenging. Our industry wasn't built to kind of pull all that stuff together. So it's a lot of work, frankly, not cheap to do it. But that's really where the industry is going so late. A lot of our guests are talking about ways that they're coordinating all the different elements you got to put together around tax, around cost, around risk, around distribution sequence, all that kind of stuff. That's a lot of what we talk about, and people are working on it. The good news is, I don't know if you probably saw this Cerulli report that just came out recently. 53% of advisory firms are building UMH, Unified Managed Household Capabilities. Mm-hmm. 37% say it's a significant priority. And that's up from 22% just a couple of years ago. So the industry is moving in this direction. We talk a lot about that. People are working on it. And just because the kind of people I talk to, you talk to a lot of the same folks, they're busy at it. They're trying to figure out how do you pull it together? How do you make it happen? How do you quantify the benefit? How do you make it real so that people really can enjoy better outcomes?
Yeah, the world's just cyclical, isn't it? I mean, back in the day, the all-in-one system, was the advisor's desktop, did a little bit of everything. And then people realized, well, I want a little bit better rebalancing capability or planning capability. And then you get all these bespoke solutions popping up, of which there's dozens and dozens of them out there, now. And then now the problem is, again, how do we get them all to work together so that we have, a pretty seamless experience for the advisor and the consumer. So let's talk about LifeYield a little bit, because one of the things for me that you see the evolution of financial advice. It used to be advisors were salespeople; they're selling the latest stock tip, the hottest fund manager, whatever it might be. And now we've largely moved away from that, as an industry, where we're really now into advice and planning. But still, there's that legacy of investments and the lure of trying to say, I can manage your money better and I'm going to help you build wealth and all that. And that's largely debunked for people who know it, right? I mean, you're not delivering alpha through investment strategies. It's, keep costs low, invest and get the return of the market and stay invested and rebalance, you're going to be okay. But what you do is, there are a few ways of truly delivering alpha, and they're generally structural, right? Not investment strategies. So, talk about how you help deliver better outcomes, using basically structure and, tax consideration and advantages.
Sure. So a whole bunch of firms have done studies over the years. I'll pick on four that have done studies that basically say taxes have the most significant impact on financial outcomes for investors than anything else. And we've seen some studies that indicates kind of more than all the rest combined of all the things you can do. You can play around with cost. You can play around with risk a little bit. There's a few things that you can do. But if you're going to improve outcome, you got to consider taxes. And so that's EY has a study out. Morningstar, InvestNet did a study on this. I'm missing one of those four. Morningstar, you get the idea. The big firm, Vanguard's the other one. And they all say the same thing. And they describe, interestingly, I have to say, I appreciate what they wrote. None of them can do it, but they all write that you should do it. And many of them are trying to figure out ways to do it and are frankly struggling. And we were talking to a number of those firms. But the whole idea is that if you're going to improve outcome, you got to figure out tax. Now, right now, there's, I'm sure you're hearing it all over the place, a wonderful firm called 55IP is out there with a tax harvesting tool, a transition tool. It's fabulous, but it's all single account. And yet our clients have 3 to 7 products and 3 to 7 accounts. I mean, they've got a bunch of stuff, all different tax treatments. So how do you coordinate that? So the industry is struggling. And as much as I applaud direct indexing, custom indexing, there's a whole bunch of 55IP lookalikes that are happening. All good. Nothing bad about it. I'm not casting aspersions at all, only to say that it's single account and we live in a multi-account world. So what are we doing about that? So when it comes to Lightfield, and I will wave our flag, we don't get to do it very often because I'm often on the other end of this mic interviewing people. But I can tell you, we're the one and only firm that can coordinate all of the accounts, products, holdings in a household and generate tax alpha. We can quantify the benefit in dollar cents and basis points, and we can show the optimal sequence to accumulate and withdraw assets as you pull them together. And because we quantify it in dollars and cents, it really causes asset consolidation because you can show it. It's substantial in terms of the kind of impact that you can have. So what Lightfield does, we're an overlay capability. We overlay all the different accounts and holdings in a household. I'll do some breaking news. We've got some announcement coming up here shortly. We'll be able to do this across the industry. Right now, we have to be tied in by APIs. You know what those are. Our audience may not know all that, but APIs are where we basically connect to a firm and help give instructions that improve outcome. We do all that, but we're working on a capability that will be an overlay system where we can apply it to TAMPs, we can apply it to wealth managers, asset managers, annuity companies. So there's lots of different ways that we can help oversee and overlay, and in that way, charge the client for it, because just like they pay for asset management now, we're going to pay for tax management. Mm-hmm. It's a minimal, just I'll use numbers just to give you a relative sense of what that might do. But for 10 basis points, you can get 30 basis points of incremental after-tax return. So if you can pay for it as you go and you improve outcome, you're going to have more money as you accumulate and more money as you draw down.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, taking away some executional risk, right? If you're a financial advisor trying to do this on your own, you know, the brain damage is tremendous, right? I mean, your system is not simple. It's behind the scenes. You've got a very simple to use, behind the scenes, very complex, which is a sign of great tech, you know, which we try to develop ourselves as well. Very simple tech, yep. Very complex behind the scenes. So when you're a financial advisor, it's one of the things I always am stunned by, right? If you think about trying to generate retirement paychecks out of a portfolio on your own, the executional risk of messing up taxes and trading the wrong things and it is tremendous, let alone sequence risk and all the other things. And you're going to do that for 30 years, every quarter, for your client while you're getting paid less as the account dwindles down, right? I mean, to do it right, I mean, you really need a tool like Lightfield, not only to improve the after-tax benefit, you know, to the client, but to make sure you're executing it properly and to take away much of the work.
Yeah, actually, I spoke to a group yesterday about this, industry professionals. The client cannot do this. Frankly, the advisor can't do it. It's just too hard. You know, as we say in Boston, you've been up a few times, David, it's wicked hard. You know, it's wicked hard. It's just not easy to do. Let me explain it, because a lot of people we're starting to hear people describing themselves as doing UMH. And so let me set the record straight, because we haven't met anyone that does it other than ourselves. But it starts with asset location, getting the right asset allocation in the right account. So is that you're setting it up, you're maintaining an overall asset allocation with money spread all over the place. The typical investor has 3 or 4 accounts. And I know most advice, well, I have all their money. Well, you don't. Right. It's spread all over the place. So asset location is really the biggest impact of all the things you can do. Do that first, and that helps you accumulate more over time. Then there's tax loss harvesting, very important, but it should be multi-account. It shouldn't be just considering one account at a time and how that's going. You really need to consider all the accounts in a household. Got to look at transitions, because frankly, if you do what I'm describing, you're going to get more assets. And as you transition those in, you got to do the tax consideration around the asset allocation, as well as the asset location, as well as the tax harvesting. All of it becomes, frankly, more complex. And then as you move toward income, one of the things that we have the wherewithal to do and we think is vitally important is as you get into the decumulation phase, you should be considering Social Security. What part of that? How do you maximize Social Security? We have over 100,000 advisors that use our Social Security tool. It's very simple. It's straightforward. It just tells you when to start taking it and how to take it and how to set up your Social Security benefits and so forth. The other piece that isn't in place yet, David, and you and I have talked a lot about this, and we know it's coming. It's going to come. It's going to take, unfortunately, longer than we'd like. Annuities are a vital part of putting together what I'm describing. They have a role, the guarantees, the tax-advantaged income, depending on how that starts. There's lots of ways that it really, and just the peace of mind. You know, clients want that. They want some of their money just safe. And then ultimately, what we call retirement income sourcing, and that is, how do you draw from all those different things I just said? The asset location, the tax loss harvesting, the transitions, the rebalancing, the Social Security optimization, the annuity optimization. How do you do all that? Although, by the way, everything I just said, the technology exists, but how do you put it all together to maximize the retirement paycheck? So we're on our way. We're not moving fast enough as an industry, but it's coming, and it's coming quick.
Which is awesome. One of the things, you know, at Jefferson National, when built Monument Advisor, was designed to be an asset location play. Right. Asset location, you know, for those who just to level set the terms, is basically locating tax inefficient assets in tax deferred or tax advantaged accounts and keeping your tax efficient assets, you know, in regular taxable type brokerage accounts. So just creating, and again, that's like a structural advantage. That's how you deliver alpha.
Sure.
You know, by using that asset location, you can help generate effectively alpha in the portfolio because it's just more tax efficient. The problem always was at Jefferson National, it was too hard, right? Because the annuity assets sat over in one bucket and the brokerage assets sat in another bucket. How do you practically manage that? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know a lot of what you do at LifeYield is kind of enable that, you know, enable those accounts to work together effectively through your overlay. So you take something that would be extremely hard to do, and now you're making it, you know, much more usable for an advisor.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So the good news is it's coming. It never feels fast enough, but what I'm heartened to see is that so many firms with very deep pockets are spending a lot of time figuring this out. Of course, the other challenge of some of these big firms, they're busy arguing with each other within the firms on how to do it. Whole nother conversation for another day. But you know, the competitive imperative is there. There's a couple of reasons driving this, and you're familiar with both of these. Basically, the first is peak 65. People are turning 65 more this year than at any point in history. So people are getting older. I happen to hang out with people like that. Some of them are younger than me. But the point is that people are trying to figure out how to maximize retirement income. They know there's no going back. They got to make what they got work. So there's that as an imperative. The other is the fact that as an industry, if you take out mergers and acquisitions among RIA firms or any other kind of firm, you take out the markets, we got a growth rate. You and I both attend Tiburon. Follow Chip Burrum very closely in terms of what he has to say. He says is that our industry has a 2-3% growth rate. That is not a growth stock. You know, this is an industry that's sort of muddling along, and we, with all these mergers going on, everyone talks about their asset rise. Now, the firms that are really, I think, being smart are figuring out you got to find ways to grow organically.
That's right.
Beyond just a merger or an acquisition or what have you. So lots of positive indicators in terms of where we're headed. More work to be done. The technology is here. Now, there's a fair amount of investment involved. And again, this thing that we'll be talking about much more in the next few weeks and or month or so, we're developing something that will just make it easier for people to pull all this stuff together to, frankly, get at the cost of making what I just described work. It's complicated, as you know. But how can we do that in a way that we share the cost with the client and we give them the benefit, but we all benefit by doing what I just described?
Yeah, and I'll pull on one of those threads a little bit on that organic growth, which you know, you mentioned as you were just describing LifeYield. And we do the same thing. We're helping advisors organically grow because we can bring in, you know, help them, give them a reason to bring in held away assets, you know, for the client. And you do the same thing, right? Because, you know, the efficiency of what you do is really, as you've hit on, taking into account all of the household accounts, which gives the advisor a great way to talk to their client about the benefit of consolidating accounts and at least information in order to deliver better outcomes. So I think that's a really important thing for advisors who are in firms that are focused on growth. And as you said, we know from our buddy Chip, the industry is really not growing. And where it is growing is at the consolidators at the top. They're consolidating assets. And of any firms that are growing, they're the ones that are growing organically as well.
Yeah, the numbers, you and I have seen these from Chip Rome's presentations over the past few years. He's been talking about this each year. The meeting is held twice a year, but same sort of theme. And there's four firms that basically own organic growth for our industry. They're called Fidelity, Schwab, Morgan Stanley, and Vanguard. The first three of those names, of course, Vanguard, Fidelity, Schwab, of course. How did Morgan Stanley get in there? Because they get it when it comes to taxes. They understand. In fact, arguably, as their head of wealth management, Jed Finnis, shared with me, they're the fastest growing in terms of net new assets, organic growth in the industry based on starting point assets. In other words, they were small to start, and they're growing more rapidly over the past few years. And it's because they're doing what I just described. They're coordinating them together. They got a lot more to go. They keep working at it. It's never over. It's always onward. But the idea is that if you want to attract assets, if you want to grow your business, you got to get it from the other guy by having a better mousetrap, by having better tools, better capabilities, demonstrating real value to the customer. Because right now, the customers, frankly, you know, they've kind of heard it all before. They've been made a lot of promises. They haven't always fulfilled on the promises made. So they're looking for someone they can trust, and they intuitively know taxes are something that are in the way of what they're trying to achieve. So anytime you can show how to improve outcome, put some numbers to it, it's a good thing for all.
Right. I mean, what advisor doesn't want to talk to their clients about ways of lessening taxes? Right? So this is a good conversation to have as an advisor, and it differentiated because what percentage of advisors do you think really do a good job relative to tax consideration and getting getting tax alpha?
I hate to say it out loud, but I'm gonna. The only tool they really have at their disposal, advisors have at their disposal, is tax loss harvesting.
Right.
They have annuities, but they're, as you know, and you do such a good job of demonstrating to advisors why they should incorporate annuities into their practice. That's another way. And so there are ways to do it, but they're not as comfortable with some of those ways. So really what it comes down to is, I'm hesitating to say this out loud, but I look at financial planning. Everyone sings the praises of financial planning. Fewer than 10% of advisors actually do financial planning. And if you're talking about real financial planning, it's fewer than 5%. So that means 95% of advisors aren't doing financial, like real financial planning, like the kind you'd do for
your mother,
for someone who was serious about it, right?
Right.
I would say that tax management is in that same percentage category. It's too hard. You can't do it. It's just too hard because if the biggest impact is asset location and there aren't too many tools out there, Reed, we have one, but not too many others, you just can't do it. You can't do it on the back of an envelope. You can't do it on a legal pad. You know, it requires software.
Yeah, no question. And that's where I, you know, circle back to advisors really focusing, even a lot do planning in name, right? Not real planning and robust planning, but it's kind of the same. Decumulation in general gets a short shrift from, you know, most advisors. It's real focus on accumulation. That's a comfort zone. Advisors, they can talk about investments and diversification, sharp ratios and efficient frontiers all day, but then talk about decumulation strategies and tax strategies and stuff like that. That starts getting uncomfortable. It starts with simple things like, well, I use ETFs because they're tax efficient. That's a nice piece to the puzzle, but there are many, many more pieces and it's complex and you can't do it. So once you get to decumulation, again, I wrote an article about it a few years ago talking about, like, if I were a consultant, which I have been in my life, and if you wanted to go look at a financial advisor's practice into how they're generating retirement income for their clients, you say, oh my gosh, this process is a mess. Like, we've got to do something about this process. It's full of risk. It's labor intensive. It's going to go on forever. And you're going to likely get inefficient outcomes. So you really need to bring systems to it. There's no other way. Decumulation is just way too complicated to do right.
To give you an idea, 16 years ago when Lifefield started, we hired a consulting firm to come in and do a survey, and it was 100 RIAs, and they asked them, how do you do retirement income decumulation, that exercise? How do you do that? And most admitted they didn't. except for their very best clients, maybe top four or five clients, they would, you know, that were in a, you know, an income mode, they would do it for. And that it took 1 to 3 hours. That was the finding of the 100 advisors to do a serious retirement income plan, 1 to 3 hours each paycheck or each time you draw down. So if we're honest, it just doesn't happen to the degree clients want and need. And again, it's really going to require technology to make it work because it's just too darn complicated. But again, the good news is we're getting there as an industry. We're pedaling as fast as we can.
Yeah. And it's 1 to 3 hours at a time that you're working to diminish your own paycheck, right? I'm withdrawing money out of my client's account. I'm going to get paid less and I've got to continue to work more for it. Yeah, really kind of a definite challenge, you know, for financial advisors. And the other thing is, many advisors just don't have a lot of experience in decumulation. You know, I hear some advisors sometimes saying, oh, I've never had a client run out of money. Well, how many of clients have you actually managed their money from age 50 to 100? The answer is zero, right? I mean, the answer is zero. You haven't worked with any clients from pre-retirement through a prolonged lifespan. I mean, you might have clients who died early, but through a prolonged lifespan, you just don't do it. So there's very little experience in actually managing a decumulation strategy and executing one for a client's lifetime.
It was sort of interesting to observe. I hear this anecdotally, and I've seen some research on this, that
yes,
most people underspend their capacity. You know, most consumers, because they're just afraid of running out of money and they're afraid of living too long. I mean, all those are issues. And so they don't get out as much as they might like. They don't travel as much as they might like because they're just being very conservative, which I understand. But I think we owe it to them to give them a better understanding of what they can spend and how they can live, and also the fear, just all the other stuff, the healthcare, all the rest of it that comes into play. It's important.
Yeah, mutual buddy Michael Finko has got a great analogy he uses to describe that. Like you're having a birthday party for your children, and you don't know how many kids are going to be there. So how many pieces of cake do you cut up? If you cut them too big, you're risking running out of cake before everyone comes. And if you cut them too small, you haven't given everybody their fair slice, you know? So it's like your retirement income. You know, you cut too big, you know, slices early on and you could run out of money, and you cut too small and you haven't lived to the potential of your assets. So it's kind of interesting, but I love the analogy. It doesn't take into account that the cake could also shrink. So, but it does. There is that, but it does give a good practical way of thinking about, you know, how do you handle retirement income and the importance of annuities and consistent, predictable lifetime income, because there's no investment solution to longevity risk, and you just need a component of, you know, of annuity and annuitization in there. So this has been super fascinating. Well, one of the other things I wanted to touch on, Jack, is you've got a book, Authentic and Ethical Persuasion, which I love because, I mean, I think one of the reasons we get along is I think we're both, I like to consider myself a person of high character, and I certainly consider you one. That's admirable. Tell me about how that came about.
Yeah. So in 1983, again, a lot of things happened that year. I was a newly minted wholesaler, had no clue how to sell anything. So I took a sales course called The Competitive Edge. It was taught by a gentleman by the name of Fernando Flores. Fascinating background. You can check out the books online at Amazon.com. Also, if you check out LinkedIn, you want to read the short version. I have a post called Mad River Reflections. It'll give you the essence of the book in 750 words. In any event, took a class, and what the class is about listening. And so it's listening to the marketplace, it's listening to clients, and fundamentally, it's about listening to what really matters to the client. So in terms of being persuasive, it starts with listening deeply. Mm-hmm. David Brooks has a book out. Shoot, I can never remember the name of it. It's a bestseller. It's David Brooks writes for the New York Times. Anyway, he talks about being known, about really hearing something. He says, you listen so well, you lose weight, is how he characterized it. And so it's really trying to get the other and trying to understand what matters to them. And I find, especially, we're talking about an intimate subject. We're talking about people's money, their livelihood, their family. So anyway, I write a book. I wrote it during COVID, like I guess maybe a few other folks did. I teach it at Babson College, which is the number one school in the country for entrepreneurship. I've taught there for the past 10 years. I'm a guest lecturer. I don't teach the class, actually. I just come in and use the book as text. And then I come in to talk with the undergrad and MBA students. essentially what I'm doing is I'm teaching them to listen. And the other aspect of the story of the book and what I talk about is about listening deeply and telling compelling stories based on what you heard. In other words, as you know about the other, as you know what matters to them, as you know what's important, and then tell stories that are consistent with what they're trying to achieve. And a good part of that is trying to add value in what you have to offer. So that's the book in a nutshell. I've been doing it for a long time. We're actually talking to the folks at Babson about actually creating a center for excellence around listening and compelling storytelling. So that's just an early conversation we've begun, but I have a lot of fun with that. I'm not sure it's exactly germane to annuities or technology, but I use it in every conversation in my business.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the art of listening and actual active listening is just tremendously valuable. And you often get into conversations if you're in a group and you see everybody just itching to get their words in, you know, or jumping in a meeting, looking to get their, everyone wants to get their words in, get their, and it's so valuable to sit there and listen.
Yeah. Actually, one of the things I talk about is people are waiting for their turn to talk. They're not listening.
That's right.
More often, it's not so much they're waiting for their turn to talk. They're actually waiting when's the best time to interrupt. In other words, to get their two cents.
Yes, yes. Let me get the slightest pause in the delivery. That's when I can jump in, and it's amusing. But anyhow, this is so good to have you here, and always great to talk. Any final thoughts you want to leave or talk about before we jump off here?
Just one last one. It's actually from the book. It's what the students I've taught to, literally there's about 500 or 600 students I've taught over the years at Babson. Then the thing they take away is be more interested than interesting. And so that's one of the things I try to do when I talk to folks. You and I get together periodically, Dave, and compare stories, most of which are true, and listen well to one another, learn from one another. And so I try to be more interested. I have the good fortune because of the podcast I do, and also just the people I have the privilege of talking to. I talk to some pretty smart folks about interesting things. So it helps my business. It helps their business. It's a win-win. So be more interested than interesting.
That's terrific. And before I let you off the hook here, I'm going to return the favor that you did for me on your podcast and ask you something about you that not many people know.
Well, as we're speaking, I'm sitting at my home in Vermont. We live full-time outside of, it's half-time in each area. So we live outside of Boston, suburban deal. I've been there for 30 years, I guess now. But and then I'm in Vermont where I'm looking out on the Mad River. It's flowing gently. It's in near Sugarbush, the ski area in Vermont. So I spend my time in both places. So do that. And one other thing that I'm actually pretty proud of that we just completed, I'm the president of a not-for-profit board called Hale Education. And we've been on a five-year campaign, and we just completed a campaign to conserve 1,100 acres of land 5 miles from the city line of Boston. It'll be under a conservation restriction, permanently protected. That's in perpetuity. And we raised $38.5 million to do that. And we successfully exceeded our goal, successfully completed that, hired a new executive director as the outgoing executive director, Eric Arnold, who's just an incredible talent, is retiring. And so we're moving on to the next person who looks as good. So that's what I do for fun is if I'm not trying to help our industry, I'm trying to help my local community and having some fun doing it.
Well, congratulations on that. That's tremendous. Outstanding. Well, Jack, how do people get a hold of you or LifeYield and explore your solution?
Jack.Sherry@LifeYield.com. I'm not on Twitter these days. Let's see what else. Just go to LifeYield.com. I'm there on the management page and love to hear from you. It all starts with a conversation. So I'm in touch with lots of folks in the industry and I learn something each time. So welcome the opportunity to connect. If you've got an idea that's worth chomping on, let's talk.
Yeah. And let's, don't forget to check out Jack's podcast, Wealth Tech on Deck. Lots of great guests and some not as great.
No. You're one of the stars. We also, since you and I last spoke, David, it's just recently, we started a new website called wealthtechondeck.com with all of our episodes. And then we're getting curated content. So I'll have to talk to you about contributing to that as well. Just trying to advance the cause around improving outcomes for all.
So, terrific.
Check it out.
Terrific. So good to see you, Jack. So good to talk.
Good to see you.
Hopefully we will see one another in person.
I'm sure, if not before this fall at the Tiburon, I'm sure.
We'll see Tiburon. I've got to get up for a Red Sox game. I get up there every year. I haven't been yet. I've got to pop up for a Red Sox game. Maybe I'll catch you then.
Sure.
All right, Jack.
Terrific.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Dave. Good to see you.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.